It's last week. They need to leave it there. Lord, the shame and the guilt and the regret, they need to leave it behind. So, Father, I pray that if there are those here today that just need to do that, they need to take that step, that Holy Spirit, you will lift that shame and that guilt from them and just leave it. And Father, it's possible that there's some folks here today struggling with knowing you at a deeper level. Life is busy. Our lives are busy. And we unintentionally, Lord, move you to the margins of our life, and we're so sorry. Please, please forgive us, Lord, when you're not most important, because you deserve that. And so, Lord, if that was us last week, we ask you to forgive us, please. Help us to move you back into that place of most importance in our life. Father, there are some here who are struggling with the basic questions of life. Why am I here? Where am I going? What does it all mean? Holy Spirit of God, only you are able to drive out doubt and to awaken faith. So we ask, please, that you do it now in the hearts and the minds of people. Father, as we move on in our time today, I pray if there are those who are here who are struggling with physical hurts, ailments, Father, that you'd bring healing to their life. We believe, God, you are a healer. We believe you do heal. So, Lord, we ask that you would bring healing into people's lives right now. Father, if there's relational damage, Father, we pray for relational healing right now, that those relationships will be fixed. Maybe somebody needs to say, I'm sorry. Maybe someone needs to accept a person's apology. Lord, help us to love you enough to honor you by loving others in that same way. And now, Father, as we move on in our service, we pray that you'll be pleased. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, good morning. Morning, man. Good to see you. We have a wonderful way to start this portion of the service. Before we release the Grace Kids, I'm not forgetting Grace Kids, which is possible that I would forget, but I'm not forgetting today. But we have a parent-child dedication. So, Laura, come on up, please. Come on up. Yeah, tell them to come on. Yeah, let's say we love them. All right, well, this is Laura, and she is holding Aria. Isn't she beautiful? Amen? How many of you know that I'm not going to hold her because every time I hold a baby, they start to cry? Right, so we're just going to bypass that. Is Elijah? You got Elijah? Elijah? Yeah, and he's somewhere, right? Get Elijah. Hey, Elijah, you want to come up here? No? Come on. No? Do you want him? Are we dedicating him? No?
Come on, baby.
Okay, it's up to you. We're sort of trying to figure Elisha out here for just a second. He doesn't have to. That's okay. Okay? No? Okay. All right. Well, we're here today. Laura called me up and said, hey, I'm off of work. Can we do a parent-child dedication? And I said, absolutely. And Aria is 4.5 months, right? And she is so pretty, and we're so glad. And this is Elisha. And Elisha's how old?
Almost five.
That is awesome. And so we're here today. And here's what we believe about parent-child dedication. Some churches practice infant baptism, and some of you may come from that tradition. And infant baptism means one of a couple things depending on the church. One, some churches believe that infant baptism takes away original sin, that when a child is born, they're born with original sin, so it takes a sacrament of the church to forgive that. We don't believe that. Actually, we're going to be looking at a text today about David, and David lost a child, and we believe that children experience what God calls his prevenient grace, his universal grace, and that is upon a child until their time of accountability. And so what we do here is we dedicate the parent and the children to be raised according to Scripture and raised in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And so we celebrate that today. It's important to dedicate your child to the Lord because that really just hammers down and drops an anchor in our lives as a church and as parents to say Scripture's going to matter in our home. A godly home's going to matter. Raising them to love Jesus and to love others is going to matter. And so this process that we do, though not sacramental, if I can use a big nerdy word, okay, though not sacramental, is highly important because of what it indicates from your heart, Laura, and what we believe to be true of your children. So here's what we say, and you can affirm this at the end. Believing that children are a gift from the Lord, I this day acknowledge God's sovereign design of this child and placement of these children, placement into my hands as her and his parent. I accept and take seriously my part of stewardship in the training of Aria and of Elisha in such a way that they will have every opportunity to know the Lord in a personal love relationship. That means you're going to live Jesus out in front of them. I commit myself to the God-ordained responsibility of instructing her and him from the Word of God. I will do my best to present to them the claims of the gospel, both by the words of life and by my lifestyle. Now I purpose before a holy God to live a life in a manner that would demonstrate my unwavering love for him as Savior, and in so doing, model Christian commitment before these precious gifts from the Lord. Now I do this day dedicate myself to a life of Christ-likeness, and my children I dedicate to the Lord with wholehearted commitment to train her and him in the ways of the Lord, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, amen, amen, and amen. In just a minute, we're going to pray. We're going to pray, and we're going to dedicate Aria and Elisha, and we're going to ask two things. First, we're going to ask that the Lord protect them, provide for them all the days of their life, and in his time, and in his timing, to redeem them, to awaken their souls unto life forever, and that they will come into that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Pray with me, if you will. Father, what an honor it is to stand here. Lord, you know I was just so thrilled when Laura called me the other day and we talked about this. It's such an honor to stand with a godly parent who wants the best for her children. And Lord, we stand with her and we love her and we affirm her in that decision. And Father, I pray for Aria and for Elisha now, that in your time, Lord, you would awaken within them faith to believe. Between now and then, Lord, that your grace would protect them and cover them and provide for them. Lord, we believe great things for these children. Father, the world will seek to strip them of their dignity and their purpose and their direction. But we affirm that they are created in your image and they matter and they have eternal significance. And we dedicate them to you right now, Lord. Use them to advance your kingdom in powerful ways. And be with Laura, God, and protect her and bless her and be with her. Make every possible provision they need, Lord, and show us as a church how to stand beside her and love her through this journey. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen and amen. And let's tell them we love them. Absolutely. That's yours. Great, great, great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Y'all, please go on back, go on back. Bye, buddy. Good to see you. All right, it's awesome. Great, great, great. Where are Grace Kids today? Speaking of children, Grace Kids? There we go. Now I'm on. I don't know how that happened. Great. Laura, you helping out today? Good, good. Very good. That's awesome. We celebrate kids around here, and there's a saying that Andy Stanley has, says this, says you replicate what you celebrate. And so we celebrate kids, we celebrate opportunity, we celebrate the next generation because we believe and know that they are the future of the church. And man, we just believe God's going to do great things with them and through them. Amen? And man, we just believe that to be true. Well, we're continuing our series today entitled The Struggle is Real. And I want to go ahead and put the bottom line up front and say that this might be a little bit of a downer. We're going to try to not make it a downer, but we have to talk about it. We have to talk about it. The struggle is real concerning death. That's not great. I mean, people have tried to avoid it. People have made jokes about it. I think Woody Allen had the best line ever. Woody Allen said, I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be there when it happens. Right? If you know Woody Allen, that sounds just like him. But it is something that visits every home. Scripture says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. No matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you work, no matter how positively you think, no matter how optimistic or Pollyannish you may be in approaching life, you will experience death. It will be around you. It'll be in your family. And if the Lord doesn't come back, you personally will walk through that journey. Many of you know, a couple weeks ago, I was in the hospital. I had a little bit of a heart attack. And, I had a big one. I don't know. It wasn't the biggest. I'm still here. So, but when you're laying in the hospital bed and you're not real sure what the conclusion's going to be, the Lord uses that oftentimes to get your attention. He shakes all the unimportant things out of your life and allows the important things to come to the surface. And so as I was praying, I wanted to address this in this series, and I wasn't sure how, so the Lord gave me a good illustration, I guess. But I promise, if you'll stay with me, I'm not going to belabor it long. I won't put you through that. But as rational, common sense people, which all of you are, we have to accept that death is real. We have to know that it's coming to our door one day. It might be when we're younger, it might be when we're older, it might be when you're in middle age. But it is coming. David, who was a man after God's own heart, wasn't spared the struggle of death. If you have your Bibles and would like to, or your phone, I'm going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 12, and I'm going to read you verses 15 through 23 real quickly. David has had an affair, and the child of that affair is dying. And so David is begging the Lord that this child would live. Listen to what happens. Now, and the Lord afflicted the child that Uriah's wife bore, that was who he had the affair with, Bathsheba, bore to David, and he became sick. David therefore sought God on behalf of the child. And David fasted and went in and lay down on the ground all night. He prostrated himself before the Lord. And the elders of his house stood beside him and tried to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them at all. He didn't eat anything. He was fasting. Now, on the seventh day, the child died. Now, the first thing I want you to see very quickly is this. David was grieving for the possible loss of a child. That is normal. There is this idea that circles around in some sectors of Christianity that if you really love the Lord and you're really mature in your faith, that when death comes, you'll throw a party. Well, that's crazy talk. When my mom died, we didn't throw a kegger. Hello? But there are areas of Christianity that will say to you, well, if you really love Jesus, you'll celebrate death. No, you celebrate heaven. Death is a drag. It is a struggle, and it is real. And so David says, look, I didn't eat. I laid on the ground, and on the seventh day, the child died. Now, the servant said to David, the servants were afraid to go tell David that the child was dead. And they said, behold, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he didn't listen to us then. Now, how then can we say to him, the child is dead? He may do something bad to himself. Second thing, grief can lead you to some bad spots. Some of you in this room right now are grieving the loss of a loved one. And you have laid in your bed at night, and you would never say this publicly. You would never say this openly. You would never speak it in polite company. But you've laid in your bed, and you've said, I just want to die. My grief is so bad. My pain is so bad. My struggle is so real. I just want to die. David was in a depression. And the people around him said, you know, this could be so bad that he could want to die. If you're grieving here today, if you're struggling here today, listen to what I'm saying to you. That is a normal part of the journey. David grieved. David struggled. Then it goes on and says this. But now when David saw his servants whispering together, you always know if people are whispering and you're not in the crowd, it's usually not good, right? David understood that the child was dead. And David said to his servants, is the child dead? They said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth. He got up from the ground. He washed himself, anointed himself, and changed his clothes. He got all cleaned up. Then he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. He went to church. He went to church. Then he said to his own house, and when he asked, they set food before him, and he ate. Then his servant said to him, what is this thing you have done? In other words, why are you so much better? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but now the child has died, and you arose, and you've eaten food. He said, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who knows? The Lord might be gracious to me, and the child may live. The Lord might be gracious to me. Have you ever been in dying times and you begged the Lord for your graciousness, for his graciousness and kindness, believing he could be gracious? He could heal. And then he goes on. It says, but now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? No. I shall go to him, but he will not return to me. Two things I want you to see very quickly in this passage. First, grieving is normal. We're going to talk about why. Second, there's a time to turn a corner, and there's some reasons to turn the corner. First of all, why do we grieve? Why is death such a struggle? The struggle is real. Why is it so real? Jesus said in Matthew 5, on the Beatitudes, he said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Even Jesus said, death is going to cause mourning and struggling. Again, if you're here today and you're struggling and you're mourning and, man, you're grieving the death, don't let anybody guilt you out. It isn't. That's just, the Bible says it's normal. It is healthy. Matter of fact, I get real concerned. If I go to somebody and they've lost a loved one and they're just sort of, you know, poker-faced, right? I get a little concerned because I don't know if they're dealing with reality. Death hurts. It just, allow yourself to hurt. Death hurts. So why does it hurt? Why is there so much pain in the struggle? First of all, we struggle with death because of pain. First of all, the pain of getting there. The pain of getting to death. Somebody said, "I'm not afraid of death. It's the process I don't like." Right? I mean, this real deal. We don't know how we're going to die. Are we going to die painfully, or are we going to die quietly? Read a joke that said that when I die, I want to die asleep like my grandfather, not screaming like his passengers. You know? Right? That's sort of where I want to be. All right, you got to tell the joke, right? So anyway, and there's real pain in that journey. There's real pain in that process. First of all, the pain of struggling dying. If you've ever stood beside the bedside of someone struggling, it's a horrible sight. It's terrible. There's also pain of the heartbreak. When someone leaves that you love, your heart breaks. And that's natural. David wept and cried for his child because he loved that child. That is natural. That is not being unchristian. That isn't you don't love Jesus. It isn't that. It is a human emotion. When Lazarus died, Jesus wept at the death of Lazarus. It is normal. The pain is real, and the struggle is real. And there's heartbreak. And then the third reason why the pain causes so much struggles for those around us. I never really understood that till I became a parent. And when I became a parent and we started, my parents and Renee's mother passed, and we started experiencing that and watching our kids struggle with the pain of that loss. As a parent, it's amplified in your own heart because you will do anything in the world you can to protect your children from that struggle. And the reality is you just can't. The struggle with death is real if you care about anyone around you, because they're going to hurt and you don't want them to hurt. And so it's real. The second is because the current cultural state of mind about death. The culture has taken death and they've done one of two things with it. They've taken it to the point where they said, well, yeah, maybe there is something next, but you can't really know what it is or what it's about, so good luck. That's one place. The other place they've gone is that when you die, that's it. They put you in a box, they drop you in the ground, it's over. And if they live on at all, they live on in your memories, but they live on nowhere else because there is nothing after this life. And the problem is so much of our opinions about death are shaped by modern culture rather than the scriptures. So much of what we believe and what we allow to shape our emotions and our feelings are driven by MTV and those, that culture rather than scripture. I remember when MTV was MTV. Anybody remember music television? Right? Yeah, I remember when it was on an hour a night. That's how old I am. I remember when it was on an hour a night. And they took a survey. I'll never forget it because it was interesting even back then. They took a survey and they asked 500 MTV watchers, this was years ago, decades ago, is there anything worth dying for? That was the question. About 90% of them said absolutely not. And the reason is because there's nothing next. And it's that idea that's shaping our culture. And so when someone close to us dies, if you've been more informed by culture than by Scripture, you go to the funeral home and you look at the casket, and there is no hope because what shaped you and formed you is a lie. And there is no comfort in a lie. Culture is making it hard. Next, the struggle with death is real because of, frankly, the separation. Don't you love being around people you love? Don't you? I mean, I love being around people I love. I love coming to church on Sunday. I love it. I love coming to church because I love being with you. I mean, there's no place else I'd rather be on Sunday than right here. I mean, if somebody said, Terry, you'll be anywhere in the world on Sundays, but you can't go to Grace, no, count me out. I want to be here because I love you. I love being around people I love. I love being around my family. I hate that they're growing up and leaving. Madison in college in Georgia, Carson's leaving soon for Tampa. I hate it. I hate it. Did I say I hate it? Hate it! Because I love being around people I love. So do you. And when death comes, we echo the words of David. You can't come and be with me, but guess what? One day I can go and be with you. But the separation is horrible. And it's painful. And we don't like it. And it's normal. Allow yourself to be normal. It's normal. It's real. Next. Struggle with death is real because it's a lonely journey. You can be surrounded by your friends. They could be singing hymns or spiritual songs. They could be reading scripture or watching football. Whatever it is, however you're going out, right? They could be doing all those things. But guess what? Death is a solitary journey. You travel it alone, only with the Lord. No one can join you in that process. And so when we think of death and we think of the struggle and it's so real in our lives, it's because we know that there is a journey we're going to go on that we can't pack the car up with the wife and kids and take them with us. We have to face it by ourselves. Well, what's next? The struggle is real, but how do we get beyond it? How do we move to the next place? Let me share with you 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 14. Apostle Paul says this, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, my brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve," now look at this, "as others that do not have any hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring him those who have fallen asleep." Here's what Paul says. You're going to grieve. So let's just go ahead and say that. If someone in your family passes, we do not think you're unspiritual if you grieve. It is natural. It is normal. If no one's ever given you permission to grieve the death of someone, let me be the person who does it. Now, some of you are saying, but dude, that doesn't make any sense. For someone in this room, that makes a lot of sense. There's someone in this room right now, got a couple hundred people in here, I'm telling you, there's somebody in this room right now who's not been given permission to grieve because you were taught it was wrong. Big boys don't cry. Big girls don't cry. Spiritual Christians don't grieve at death. They're happy for them moving on. You were taught that, and you sit here right now, and you're struggling. I'm giving you permission as your pastor and as your friend. Grieve the loss of your loved one. Why? Because the Bible says grief is normal. So Paul says, look, I want to write this to you, that when you grieve, now listen, you don't grieve like everybody else. This is the difference. Okay, here's where we turn the corner. You're going to grieve, but it's going to be different. Because this is what he says, don't grieve like people with no hope. Oh my, listen guys, I've been doing this 30 years, and some of you have been in ministry, and Dr. Mills has been in ministry a long time. You've been around people's bedside where they had no hope, and they were afraid to close their eyes. They were afraid to see the doctor come in. The families were like, look, keep them on life support. Do this, do this, do this. And I'm not saying any of that's wrong. I'm not saying any of that's wrong. I'm just saying that there are people, listen, who get to this point where when death comes, they cannot ever accept it. Paul writes this not to beat you up, not to guilt you out, not to make you feel bad. That's not why he's writing this. He's writing this to give you hope. He says, when death comes, and the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then after this, the judgment. When death comes, here's the deal. Don't grieve like you have no hope. Because here's the reality. There is something greater next. It's next. And it's greater than this. And the certainty is true and real because Christ resurrected from the grave. When my mother was dying, 4 years ago now, when my mom was dying, she had pancreatic cancer. And there's four boys in my family. I'm the youngest of four. Two of my brothers are believers. One was not. I have a cousin who's a doctor, so he was involved in this whole process pretty up to his eyeballs. And I went to see mom last time she was in the hospital at UAB, and Stephen came up and spent several hours with us, and he just said, Terry, Aunt Evelyn is sick. I said, okay, break it down for me. He said, unless God does a miracle, which we all believe he can, we're that kind of family, right? Unless God does a miracle, she's going to die. I said, okay, that's not good news. He said, no. So I got my brothers on the phone, and one on the phone, two in the room. And my two other brothers who were believers were very eager to honor mom's request, and that was for no life support and artificial sustaining of life. My mom was a very strong believer. She's like, I know where I'm going, and it's just not fun here anymore. And she said, so I don't want all that. If they're sticking tubes and all that, she said, don't sign me up. The brother who wasn't a believer, he died about a year ago. Died having never forgiven us for that. But there was a profound, eternal, significant difference. And it's this verse. We know Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And we know that when our mother closed her eyes here, she became present with the Lord. We know that is a reality. And it overshadows all the pain, all the struggle, all the decision making, because it's true. Mom died. And at her funeral, we were able to celebrate. Because we knew that wasn't the end. I can't explain to you why that is true in my heart except for the person of the Holy Spirit. That is the only way to define that. Some of you are sitting here right now and you are agreeing with me because you've buried your parents. Or you've buried a sibling. And God forbid some of you relate to David and you've buried a child. I've walked with you through it. I saw how you walked through it. You walked through it with a certain hope that Jesus is real and the resurrection is true. I was lying in hospital bed, not eating hospital food. Because it's bad, I don't care where you go. Thinking about this, not being morbid, but trying to have a sound mind and say, look, I've had two heart attacks in 3 years. That's not a good batting average, right? Just, if you're gauging it, it's not great. So what do I want to say to the people that I love so much about death? It's coming. Won't be invited. May not be expected. Certainly won't be welcome. But it's coming. It's going to knock on my door, and it's going to knock on yours. What I'm about to tell you isn't a Nobel Prize winning thought. I'm not getting a ticket to Norway for this one, okay? But here it is. You're going to be dead longer than you're alive. So what's next matters most. There is no comparison. What's next matters most. So, I sort of land the plane, reminding you what Jesus said in John 14:6. Remember John 14, famous chapter in the Bible, right? Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many dwelling places. In other words, he's got a big house with a bunch of rooms, and you get a room. Isn't that cool? Right? In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going or how to get there. And then Jesus said, oh, yeah, you do. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Do you want to take some of the struggle out of death? Oh, you can't take the grief out. You can't take the tears out. You can't take the heartbreak out. But you can take some of the struggle out. Draw near to the person of life. Get close to the one who says, I am life. Get to know him in a deeper, more profound way. You want death to be far? Then draw near to life. And when it comes, the struggle just won't be nearly as great. You are loved today by your Heavenly Father. He cares about you more than you've ever imagined. And more than anything in the world, he wants you to have a personal relationship with him. And then he wants you to grow in that relationship. I want to give you a chance to do that. Because nothing matters more than what's next. Pray with me, please. If you're here today and God's moved on your heart and your mind concerning your salvation, maybe you know about the Lord, but you don't know the Lord. Maybe you're here saying, Terry, I sort of got a pretty good religion going on. I think everything's cool. But this talk today offended you is an indication that maybe if you do know the Lord, you're sort of far away, but maybe you don't know him at all. So I wonder if you would just pray this where you are. Just pray this. Just pray, Lord, it's me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for giving me the chance to pray. Lord, I love you. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose again on the third day. Right now, I place my trust and my faith in you alone for salvation. Forgive me of my sins as I surrender myself to you. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for changing my life. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today or meant it for the first time today, I'm going to ask you on the count of three to just slip up your hand. 1, 2, 3. Just slip up your hand wherever you may be. Slip it up, okay? All right? Here's what you need to do then. The next step that you need to take is the step of baptism. We will help you with that. We're ready, willing, and able to do that at any time. After the service, I'm going to be standing down here. Come talk to me, and we'll walk through the details of your baptism, because we'd love to help you with that. If you don't have a Bible, man, we'd love to get you a Bible, because you need to grow in your faith with the Lord. Now, second, I want to pray for those of you who are still carrying the grief of death with you. I want to ask the Lord to bless you and lift that from you. If you're here today and you're saying, Terry, I'm still carrying some of that grief and some of that pain because I've lost someone, would you be honest enough to lift up your hand? God draws near an honest heart. Just lift up your hand. Just lift up your hand. Yep, several. Okay. We're going to ask the Lord to lift that from you right now. Father, you love these people with an unbelievable love. And Lord, some are still carrying the grief of death. These are good people, Lord. They're your people. And Father, you say grief is normal. But you also teach us, Lord, in your word that there's a time to mourn, but there's also a time to dance. Lord, some people need to get to that dancing time. And the mourning needs to be over. Holy Spirit, that's an inside job. You got to do that work on the inside. So we just ask you to do it now in the hearts and the lives of these, your people. Father, heal them from this grief and this struggle. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. At this time, I'm going to ask our folks serving communion to come forward, please. This is the time where we'll turn our attention very quickly to entering time of communion. Here's what we believe about communion here at Grace. First of all, if you're a believer and know Christ, you're invited to his table. This isn't the church's table. It's not Terry's table. It is the Lord's table. So if you're a believer today, you're invited. We are glad that you're here. Please come and communion with us. Now, some of you may come from a tradition that prohibits that. And if you choose to honor your tradition, that's certainly free here. But know that we love you. And you are more than welcome on our end to come and participate with us. What we believe about communion draws from Scripture, of course. And we believe that the elements do not transmute. They do not change substance. The bread doesn't become flesh and the cup doesn't become blood. But we do believe, because of 1 Corinthians 11, that this is a significant spiritual encounter with the Lord. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 that those who came to the table of the Lord in the wrong manner, some became sick and some died. So this isn't just a, oh, hey, Jesus, I remember you died for me. It is a spiritual encounter with the Lord in a very real way. Some of you need a touch from the Lord. You need healing. You need to be reminded that God loves you. You need direction. I tell you, during communion times, I have seen God answer those questions in the hearts and the minds of his people for years. He can do that for you. And so as we come to the table in just a minute, ask the Lord to speak to you. Ask the Lord to deal with you. Ask the Lord to direct you. He certainly will. Scripture says this, the Apostle Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread and broke it and gave thanks. And he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Now in the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Death isn't the end, because Jesus died for us. So as we come to the table of the Lord, remembering his sacrifice, we get to celebrate that life for us is forever. And that's good news. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, as we pause before you, help us to be honest with our sins of the past week and ask you to forgive us. Lord, for the things we did intentionally wrong, we are sorry. When you led us to do good and we didn't, we are sorry. Father, when we pushed you to the margins of our life, it's because it's busy and cluttered in our day-to-day walk, we are sorry. You are far too important to be marginalized in our hearts and in our minds. Father, now as we come to your table, Holy Spirit, we invite you to draw near. Help us encounter you, Lord, in a fresh and a new way. Lord, thank you for the mystery of communion and how it impacts our lives every time we come to your table. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Stand with me, if you will. We have two methods of communion. I'll invite you forward in just a minute. One is intinction. It's where you take the bread, dip it in the cup, and partake. The other is the cup method. Some of you are familiar with that. We have the same ones on both sides. We have the cup method. So make sure you grab two cups. The bottom one is the bread. The top one is the juice. So make sure you get two when you do that. And we invite you to do whichever method is most comfortable for you. Sort of how we do this is this side sort of comes this way, this side sort of comes this way, and y'all in the middle eyeball it, okay? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Jesus, for your body given for us and for your blood shed. As we come to your table, Lord, we are grateful. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen and amen. Come on. Thank you. not received communion yet and would like to, please make your way forward or whatever you need to do. We don't want to rush. Good. Well, I wonder if you would pray with me, please. Father, thank you for the opportunity around your table. Thank you, Father, that you sent your Son to redeem us from our sins. Thank you, Jesus, that because of your sacrifice, we have life forever. Thank you so much. Now, I wonder if you would join me as we say the Lord's Prayer together. It's printed on the front of your bulletin. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, amen and amen. At this time, I'll invite our ushers forward quickly, if you will, for our morning tithes and offerings, and most importantly, prayer requests. Please don't forget, this is how we pray for you. So if you have prayer requests, things going on in your heart, in your life we need to pray about, please write it down right here. Put it in the offering plate. If you miss the offering plate, please put it in one of the boxes as you exit the sanctuary, those metal boxes. We would love to receive your prayer requests so we can pray for you. We give here at Grace for three reasons. We give because Jesus is Lord, most important person in the world. The gospel is the most important message in the world. And the Bible says that where your treasure goes, your heart goes. So we just believe you want your heart with the Lord and in his kingdom's work. So we give you an opportunity to make that shift every single Sunday. So we hope that you'll do that. Let's pray. Well, Father, as we give, Lord, may we give with cheerful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Ryan, where are you? Ryan, there you are. All right.
Yep. Stuck up behind you.
Yeah, there you go.
Just a couple of quick announcements. If you were involved and you were an adult and you were involved in Disciple Now Weekend, we had a couple of host homes. We had the Flatos were hosting us. If you would stand, the Westberries were in the back. And then where's Mr. Pepe? Pepe's right here. He was our cook for Friday night. Thank you so much. Dutch helped us out lead. Thank you. If you were a student and involved, stand for us real quick. I want you guys to see these students that were involved. Awesome. We had a great weekend talking about our relationships that we have with our friends, our relationships that we have with our family. Yes, parents, we talked about you and how your kids can annoy you by actually doing what you ask them to do. It's amazing. We talked about how to have a dating relationship, and then this morning how to have a relationship with God. And so it was a great, great weekend. Thank you so much for entrusting your students to us and letting us have that time. It was awesome. We had fun. Wednesday night, we're back at it. Adults will be in the chapel at 6:30. Students, we have a pool party this week, so students will be gone from 6:30 to 9. Make sure you wear your one-piece bathing suit. Make sure that you remember to bring what you bring. And then we're headed out to the Trips House for that evening. Hot dogs will be provided. We'll have a great time there. The next big thing for students, parents, just so that you know, we'll be leaving June the 23rd. We go to Wild Adventures that day. I'm going to ride some roller coasters, hang out, have some fun, but also listen to some good music. The Newsboys are having their reunion tour. So any of you old schoolers who want to come and chaperone, okay, old school, right? That would be me because I'm realizing how old I am, okay? If you want to go and chaperone is what we call that, okay? That's like code word for I just want to go for the music. Come and let us know. We'd love to have you, but the cost is $50. That gets you in and gets you a concert ticket. So it'd be a great time to come and hang out with us. But next Sunday is the deadline for you to register for our Serve Venture, which is our summer camp experience, August the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. We're headed down to Orlando, a couple of days of service projects. And then we're headed out to Universal Studios Islands of Adventure on Monday to kind of wrap up our whole summer. It'll be a great time. The cost of that is $200, but we're breaking that up in payments. We've got a couple of other fundraisers that are coming up out at Hitchcock's and a barbecue chicken dinner that we're going to do as well. But your deposit and your registration is due by next week. I got to get that to the people so they can go ahead and start buying our tickets and getting our stuff together for us. But man, thank you all so much. Summer's a great time for students. We had an amazing kickoff to the summer this weekend, and I'm just looking forward to what God's going to do. So thank you. Oh, hey, a couple other things. Edge tonight. Thanks, Jennifer. I was like, hey, don't forget me. Edge is happening tonight. For those of you who just graduated high school, we'd love to invite you to come out to our house at 6, right? 6 o'clock at our house. We'll have dinner for you and a Bible study, time of hanging out. So that's for all graduated seniors. If you're in college and on summer break, we'd love to have you come hang out with us. And then Miss Claudia has an announcement, too. Awesome. Thank you. That's it.
Right. Okay. Very quickly, before we go, pray. If you're here and you're still struggling with the grief issue, you do not have to walk alone. Listen to what I'm saying to you. You do not have to walk alone. We will walk with you. We will help you. We will pray with you, because God really does want you to turn that corner and have a full and meaningful life. If you're struggling with some other issues that, man, this has just stirred up some emotions, because it probably did for some, you don't have to walk alone. You don't. We will be glad to walk with you, pray with you, and help you any way we can. My number's in the bulletin every week. Call me. We will find a time to get together, and we will help you every way that we can. Man, I love you. God bless you. Stand with me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you for being patient with us. We went a little long today. Thank you for that. Father, these are your people, sheep of your fold. You love them with an unbelievable love. I pray, Lord, you would extend your grace, your mercy, and your kindness on each person. Father, I pray that this week will be the greatest week of their life. Lord, when we fail you this week, please forgive us and break our hearts, because we don't want to do that. Lord, when we do something great, let us be really quick to give you all the glory and all the praise, because it's due to you. And Lord, guard our hearts from foolish pursuits. Help us to love you and to love others in a way that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. See you.